worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigner living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then looking briefly in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, picking up at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you for your word, the power of your word, the grace on your word, the light of your word, the strength that's found in your word. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is the sword of the Spirit, and your word is you. What a privilege it is we have of being able to have time one-on-one every day of our lives as we open your word and spend time in this daily wonderful appointment time with you. And thank you for the truth that you'll spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you. Lord, more and more teach us that Our time in your word is a form of prayer, amongst other things. It's an appointment. It's an opportunity to be in your presence. And thank you for how that you teach us by the power of your word how to pray. Empower us to be believers that are really living out the truth in which you told us to pray without ceasing. Lord, we need your wisdom, your grace, and your insight to know how to do that and the empowerment of your spirit to do it. But thank you for how that by your grace, more and more, you're teaching us how to do that. Thank you for us as individual believers. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Lord, help us all this day to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph. I ask that you'd help us to grow more in your word, to grow more in you, to grow more in keeping your standard. Father, you've called us to grow more in holiness, that in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and in him being raised from the dead, that we have been perfected for all time, those who are being made more holy. So, Father, thank you so much for covering all of our sins. And, Father, I ask that you'd create a hunger for us to grow more in likeness of you. Thank you so much for Scripture. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for your word. Father, we want you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Let me remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. You know, the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool that we often share, we're glad to share it with you. Be mindful that I'm encouraging every single listener to email us to get a copy of it. Remember this, everybody can use help and strength and encouragement in their prayer life, no matter who you are. Everyone can use it. So it's a tool simply to help set your prayer life on fire. And the reality is, none of us pray as much as we really should. We just all can do better. And the Word of God clearly tells us, pray without ceasing. And remember, you can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the wisdom, because he knows how to help you do it. God wouldn't tell us to do something we cannot do, but he does tell us to do things that we can only do in his wisdom and in the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. So again, if you'd like to get a copy of the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, we're glad to get it to you. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And I'm going to ask our listeners, please pray for the outreaches, some of the outreaches we do. One of them, of course, is the Walk Through the Bible seminar. It's a great tool to help you see how that the Bible is one story. And it's of course, it's connected to the National Ministry Walk Through the Bible. But it's a great seminar. We enjoy doing them. And if you think you or you'd like to talk to your pastor about bringing it to your church, it helps you. It's a tool the Holy Spirit helps you to fall in, through which to fall in love with the Word of God. Remember this, a critical part of growing up in your faith is becoming a student of the Word of God. On the broadcast, we regularly challenge listeners to read at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. If you're not doing that, today is a good day to start it. Parents, we're encouraging you to start the habit of having your children to read 3 chapters out loud to you every day. And if you make the mistake of telling yourself, I don't have time for that, we have time for what we want to do. So parents, one of the most valuable things we can do for our children, let them read the Word of God to you every single day. It will be something that will bless your children for the rest of their lives, and it'll bless you tremendously as well. So hope that you'll do that. And so again, the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayers, we're glad to get it to you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you to get it into your hands. We are very honored to have and blessed to have with us in studio today Pastor Matt Powell. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Pastor Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Honored to have you with us today. And I would mention to Pastor Matt, your wife, Andrea, am I saying it correctly?
She goes by Andrea.
Andrea, okay. Have had the privilege of meeting your wife, Andrea, who is the director of the local pregnancy clinic here in Tupelo, Parkgate Pregnancy Ministry, which is a tremendous ministry doing a great job of ministering to women in the Tupelo, Mississippi community and beyond as well. And so I'm guessing y'all are mighty busy folks these days involved in all those ministries.
We are, and that's not including the children, the five children we have at home. So they keep us on our toes.
Yes, sir. Well, Pastor Matt, would you take a moment now to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners whatever else you feel like would be helpful for them to know about you, and also tell them about First Baptist and how they can get there if they want to come visit?
Sure. Well, I'm humbled to be on the program today, and thank you, Pastor Joseph and Isaac as well, for allowing me to be here. As he said, my name is Matt Powell. I'm originally from East Tennessee. My family has multi-generations been in the hills of the Smoky Mountains, and outside of me, they're all there to this day. My wife and I are graduates of Mississippi College for undergraduate degree, and I did seminary training, master's degree at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I'm also there in a doctoral program now for Christian apologetics. I've been privileged to be the pastor of First Baptist Church of Tupelo for 8 years. In fact, this next Sunday will be 8 years since I've been here. And living in Tupelo has been a blessing. It has been a hard journey, not because of church, but there was just some very difficult tragedies over the last 8 years. I lost a son. My wife battled cancer. But Tupelo, not just First Baptist, but the community, as well as AFA and AFR, have just put their arms around us, especially on some very hard days. And I will make mention also, First Baptist Tupelo, we meet every Sunday. We have two morning worship services, 8:30 and 11 o'clock. We are downtown Tupelo, the Yellow Brick Church on the corner of Jefferson and Church. Our address is 300 North Church Street, and a wonderful congregation of just very kind and compassionate people. And God is doing something very special. We're 174 years old, and in this past year, we are in our largest year of attendance in our history. God is just doing and blessing in a very unique way, and for that, we're very grateful.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, you look mighty good for 174, I tell you what. So.
Oh,
want to ask, would you take a moment to pray for our listeners that they would be able to hear and receive all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and Lord, we want to submit ourselves to your word, not to the teachings of men or the voices of culture, but Lord, to submit ourselves to your word, which is eternal. It's written in the heavens, and Lord, you have given it to us through your prophets and apostles many, many years ago, and have preserved your word for us, that we can hold your word in our hand and read it and breathe it in. So today, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will you open our eyes to receive what is God-breathed out for us, and that you would minister to our hearts, and that, Lord, when we face questions in our life and in our time, that, Lord, we would first look to your word and submit ourselves to your word, for it is good. It is our ultimate good. Lord, we know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And Lord, we have received your word and we know it's good. So Lord, will you allow that to wash over us today in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I thank you for Pastor Matt. And thank you, Lord, for the work and the calling of your pastors, your shepherds under Christ that you've called all over our nation and all over the world. Father, more and more raise up bold, strong pastors that will boldly proclaim your word in love, but boldly preach the truth in view of the fact that it's truth that sets people free. Lord, we ask that you raise up more and more pastors that have your heart, that love you, that love your word, and are committed to preaching and teaching your word clearly in order for your word and your will to go forward and your kingdom to be built. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor Matt Powell, the pastor of First Baptist Church, Tupelo, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
The moment that hope was born, and guilt was pardoned once and for all. And captivated, but no longer bound by chains. Left at an empty grave, the sinner and the sacred.
The music of Mercy Me with All of Creation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our in-studio guest today is Pastor Matt Powell. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Pastor Matt had the privilege of hearing a message, a recorded message that apparently you shared at First Baptist on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday of this year. And powerful message that really addresses some critical issues, maybe more critical now than at any time in view of just the things that are going on in our culture overall, but especially as it relates to the issue of life. And so grateful to have you here to come to share from that message. So I'm going to let you just dive in to share as you're led of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for this opportunity. On Sanctity of Life Sunday, we looked at Romans chapter 16 and verses number 19 and 20. St. Paul writes, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." That particular verse there is a hearkening back to one of the earliest promises that we see in Scripture, and that is the first gospel. Theologians call it the Proto-Evangelium. It is found in Genesis 3:15. Specifically, let me turn over there, but in Genesis 3:15, when God is actually speaking to the serpent after Adam and Eve have sinned in the garden, he says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And what we see there in that first mention early in the Scripture is an introduction to the battle that is going to take place throughout Scripture. If you jump all the way to Revelation, you find in Revelation that the dragon, the serpent, this monster from the beginning is one. It's the devil. Mm-hmm. And from day one, since the fall, there has been a battle against the forces of good and the forces of evil ever since sin has entered into the world. And when Paul is speaking to the Roman church here, he is saying, listen, there's a couple of things. I want you to be wise as to what is good, innocent as to what is evil, and also know that the God of peace, through our obedience and following Christ, is going to use that to crush the works of the enemy. Now, ultimately, Genesis 3:15 points to the finished work of Jesus on the cross, where he finished sin and death forever in his death, burial, and his resurrection. But now, as his ambassadors, we go out throughout the world carrying this message of peace and reconciliation with God. And in doing so, that message pulls down the strongholds of darkness in the world. So one of the things that I wanted to emphasize in this time is that When we talk about battles for our time, mm-hmm. battles against good and evil, we're talking about a spiritual battle. It's been a spiritual battle since the beginning. Our battle is not against flesh and blood.
You know, Pastor Matt, I think of this, that it is helpful for us to recognize that, like it or not, we all are dealing with serious spiritual warfare every day of our lives, from the day we're born to the day we leave this world. And, you know, there are those that may think to themselves, well, you know, I don't like the idea of thinking of life as being spiritual warfare. Well, again, as I often like to allude to this, like it or not, war has come to us because that's the way life is. And so if we're wise, we'll become well-equipped spiritual warriors. And our chief weapon is the Word of God, with which we battle in many different regards. One is with truth, to know what's right, what's wrong, because we live in a world where lots of people seem to be very confused, and they'll call wrong right and right wrong. Mm. And so it's critical that we understand the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit for many reasons, and we need to stay heavily plugged into the Word of God across the board, too.
Yes. And just to be reminded that war announced there in Genesis 3:15, it's not about spoils and dirt. It's not about property acquisition. It's mm-hmm. not about swords and shields or bullets and guns in the way we understand war today. It's mm-hmm. it's about sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. Satan does not want to see the kingdom of God established on the earth. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom of God is established through God's image. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God made man in his own image. He made us male and female. And because of that, we are his image bearers. Theologians call it vice regent, that God had placed humankind. I'm thinking of Psalm 8 here, what is man that you are mindful of him? But that God has placed humanity on the earth to rule the earth in its perfect created state. And Satan did not like that. And ever since then, there has been a war. The war actually is ultimately not against God and the devil. I mean, because God has no opposite. Mm-hmm. The war is against the powers of darkness and God's creation of man on the earth. Mm-hmm. And so we see this in the scripture that whether or not we choose to acknowledge it, as you just mentioned, there is a spiritual war going on around us.
Would you specifically, Pastor Matt, pray for believers to grow in the understanding of the fact that first and foremost, we need to come to know Christ
yes.
to be saved, because outside of that, we can't battle effectively at all. We're going to be victims of war. But once we're saved, we need to begin to grow up and mature to become well-equipped warriors who know how to go out on the battlefield and walk in victory.
Amen. You know,
so would you pray for believers, dads, moms, individual believers to grow in their maturity and their understanding of that truth?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we do come to you. And Lord, first of all, Lord, if there's anyone listening to this broadcast that does not know you in a personal way, that, Lord, they have never come to the knowledge of the truth and called upon your name to receive you as their Lord and Savior, to receive the blessing of forgiveness of sin and, Lord, reconciliation with you and having the hope of eternal life. If there's someone here that has not done that, Lord, you say in your word that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray that even now, wherever they are, they would call upon your name, Lord, and be saved. You say if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And if someone needs to do that, Lord, I pray they would do that even now. For those of us who do belong to you, who are children of the light, children of the truth, Lord, I pray, as Pastor Joseph has said, that you would help us to grow up in the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I'm reminded of the story of Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian began to read the book, and in doing so, he knew the way he must go. Lord, I pray you would make us students of your word, that you would help us to grow in the truth, and that we will not be led astray by the tricks of the devil, the tricks of the enemy, or the lies of our current culture. That, Lord, that we would be people of the truth, and that that truth would be a ministry and a blessing, not just to us, but our families and neighbors and community around us.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You also alluded to just the tragic stories we find in Scripture, one Old Testament, one New Testament, where leaders had babies destroyed.
Yeah. So Genesis 3:15 says that there is a war on the offspring, a war on the seed, and that the beautiful picture that is painted in Genesis 3:15 is that God is going to undo this evil that has happened in the garden with sin and death through the seed of woman, through a human being. God is going to undo the curse. And ever since then, that God announced that through a human being that he was going to undo the curse, there has been a war on the seed. So the seed of humanity ultimately, who brings us to Christ, who is the God-man, fully God, fully man, and came forth through woman to do away with sin. But throughout the Bible, there's always been a war on God's people, in particularly on babies, a war on the womb. I'm thinking here of the story of the Exodus story of how it opens up, where Pharaoh, in an effort to destroy the people of God in Egypt, ordered all of the male babies to be thrown into the Nile River. I can think of other stories in the Old Testament as well. But another one that comes to mind immediately in the New Testament is where Herod the Great, when he heard that the king was born, Jesus, he ordered the murder of all the male babies under 2 years of age in and around Bethlehem. So there has been a war against the womb. And I think there is a real issue there, because I think it's wrapped into that promise of Genesis 3:15, that there was going to be a baby which would come forth and would undo the curse and defeat the devil. So you know the story. My children just recently have been watching a movie about the Exodus, and they love the story. But think about the story of Moses, where he was literally in a basket hiding in the bulrushes there in the Nile River. And imagine at the same time Moses is there in the basket, you have, here's mighty Pharaoh on his throne, who has ordered the destruction of all these babies, the most powerful man in the world at that time. But God was going to use a little baby hiding in the weeds to bring down the mightiest man in the world. And that is the theme that is established, that God is going to use babies to bring salvation and life to people. Ultimately, that theme is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas.
And you know, Pastor Matt, it's powerful in view of what you just shared, for us to really look at how that sadly you have those people in high places and in places of power and authority, that's almost, their actions seem to indicate that they literally hate babies, you know, willing to destroy them. And I think of this, that so much deception, so many lies around the life issue in our culture are floating around today that have been shared as if it was just accepted fact. You think of the fact that people say abortion is a human right, or that abortion is health care.
Right.
These are straight lies that have been perpetuated so much so that there are people that really seem to believe them. When God has said, you shall not murder. And it's helpful to understand the word abortion basically is simply, it's first-degree murder of a baby in the womb. Now, some would say that's a harsh way to put it. That's reality. Yet, we live in a culture that many have accepted that as if that's okay, even though God has said, you shall not murder. So one of the needs of the church is that we boldly and in love proclaim God's truth and deny the lies of the world.
Amen. Yes, and it is a difficult time to speak about these things. For instance, the message that I shared on Sanctity of Life Sunday is the most listened to message I've ever preached, in the sense that it was shared online, and it went all over the country, so to speak, as people shared it. And it's also been the message which produced the most feedback. And we got a lot of angry feedback, not mm-hmm. from folks in our church or even in the community, but people throughout the country and throughout the certain parts of the world that listened to it, they were angry. Mm-hmm. The message of life made them angry. There is genuine hostility mm-hmm. over the issue of life in the womb.
And just the fact that we live in a day and time in which the ministry of pregnancy clinics are such a critically wonderful outreach to help women at a tough time, yet we live in a day and time in which pregnancy clinics have been firebombed, have been mm-hmm. burned, have been attacked. And how in the world would anyone want to attack a pregnancy clinic? Because, as you said, there's hostility
yes.
to life and those that would support life as well.
Yes.
So it's powerful for us to recognize that, like it or not, there's extreme spiritual warfare around the life issue. And it's so important for we as God's people to, I believe, on a daily basis, to pray like the Apostle Paul prayed right after he got saved. His first question was, Lord, who are you? But his second question was, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
And as it relates to God's kingdom, obviously God calls us to share the gospel, to be disciple makers. As it relates to the life issue, we need to sincerely pray that prayer and listen, because God is going to call some people to work with pregnancy clinics, some people to be sidewalk counselors, and others to do other things as well. But there's so much work to be done.
Amen.
Our in-studio guest today is Pastor Matt Powell, the pastor of First Baptist Church, and he's sharing from a powerful message that he shared on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we'll pick up there on the other side. We'll be right back. Music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the honor we have of knowing you and being able to walk with you. Thank you for the opportunity as we walk with you in prayer that we more and more learn your heart and learn what's important to you as we read and study your word, as we listen to your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be a people that live with a yes, Lord, attitude. Whatever you're calling us to do, help us to live with the longing to fulfill all the callings upon our lives, whatever you're calling us to do. And help us to be mindful that as it relates to the life issue, there's so much work that you've called the church to do. Help us to not miss our moment, our opportunity to be used of you in this day and time with what we face. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that we are on the winning side. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're grateful to have as our in-studio guest, Pastor Matt Powell. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Pastor Matt, if you'll pick up, you were continuing to share the message you shared on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday.
Yes. To continue to talk about the issue of life and the sanctity of life, we can, as the issues we face and the lies we face and the pressure we face from our culture at the time, there's a quote from a Southern author that has inspired me for years. And she was a Catholic author that wrote like a Baptist. It's Flannery O'Connor. And Flannery O'Connor was famous of saying, "Press back against the age as hard as the age presses down upon you. For after all, faith is not an electric blanket. It's a cross." And our age is pressing against us, pressing against life. And there's so much misinformation. There's so much deception out there. And it's even in my own tradition. I'm a Southern Baptist. Even in my own tradition, in the early days of abortion, there were resolutions in my own convention of churches in support. Early on, Southern Baptists were pro-choice because it was believed to be that the baby inside of the mother was not separate from the mother, that it was just a part of the woman's body. But now, as science has allowed us to see, I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree with the fact that a woman ought to be able to have authority over her own body. However, and have the right to choose what to do with her body. Please listen to what I'm saying here, though. But a life inside of a woman is by definition not her body. Mm-hmm. It is a separate life. So therefore, to touch a baby in the womb is to not touch your own body, but the body of another. Mm-hmm. And to harm the body of another is, and to end the life of the body of another is to end a human life. Every single one of us listening to this program, we did not come from an embryo. We once were an embryo.
That's right.
It's not like an embryo was a pre-existent version and then we came from that. No, we once were an embryo, and that lines up perfectly with Scripture. Now my tradition, the Southern Baptists, as well as many faithful witnesses out there as churches today, stand boldly for the issue of life. And looking to Scriptures, for instance, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5 that says this, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. Another scripture is Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Pastor Joseph, these verses show me is that life in the womb is a capital P personal project. Life in the womb is there because God has placed it there. The psalmist says, you formed my inward parts. Jeremiah said before, I formed you in the womb, that God and God alone is the one who brings and places life in the womb. Also, that life is planned. It's not an accident that God placed life in the womb on purpose. And so these things, not only is life planned, but another thing is that life in the womb is not just a clump of cells. It's a person. It is a person. And therefore, we would all agree that taking the life of a person is wrong. It's evil. It's murder. And the scripture says plainly that life in the womb, it uses personal pronouns. You knew me. I knew you. God formed me. These are personal pronouns, that life in the womb is a person.
That is so true. So true. And, you know, Pastor Matt, I think of this, our time, we don't have a whole lot of time left though, but something that so beautifully really alludes, relates to so much of what you shared and that we've talked about is, just this morning got a text from one of the clients of our ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. The client texted and said, my baby was a boy, just born apparently this morning, and a young mom who she asked for a lot of help, a lot of help. And one of the realities is, we, like many other pregnancy clinics, are there to help moms during especially a tough time, and especially a tough time during their lives when they may be carrying a baby at a difficult time. But the reality is, what is more beautiful than the message that a little boy or a little girl, beautifully made in the image of God, that's born into the world, yet we see the devil, the picture of what he has in mind for human beings is seen powerfully in abortion. He wants to destroy people, and especially babies, as well as people as a whole. So we as the church have our work cut out for us.
Yes. And the reason he wants to destroy is because every child born is born in the image of God.
That's right.
It is like raising the gospel flag that it's a reminder. Every baby that is conceived in the womb is a reminder to him that his doom is sure. And he cannot stand life. But one of the things I did want to close with is the question that we may be listening is that we must pray. But also, what else? What else can we do? What can we do? First of all, I would encourage fellow pastors, going back to Flannery O'Connor's quote, press back against the age as hard as it presses down upon you. That doesn't mean to make your pulpit an issue for politics, but it does mean that when you come to scriptures that address life, don't skirt the Word of God. Don't skirt the issue. Just allow the truth of the Word of God to go forth. A commitment to life is fundamentally not political. It is fundamentally human, and it is fundamentally God's. And so one of the ways that we can do this is that make it a part of our conversation amongst God's people. Another thing is that we need to celebrate life everywhere it's found. And this is a big thing. I live in the Bible Belt. I live in Southern culture. And we need to celebrate life no matter where it's found, no matter if this baby was born from a relationship that was outside of God's will, whether the baby came forth through a tragic set of circumstances, whatever it is, you always celebrate life where it's found. And that also, even though that a commitment to life is fundamentally not political, we should be prayerful that God would use our leaders to put an end abortion. I celebrated the overturn of Roe v. Wade in 2022, 49 years of Roe v. Wade that led to millions upon millions of babies to have their lives ended tragically in the womb. But Pastor Joseph, one of the things, and you know this, and we've talked about this, is that that overturn kind of caught the pro-life movement a little flat-footed in the sense that there are now movements everywhere that are moving towards some of them very radical pro-choice measures. So it's an encouragement for the church to continue to be prayerful and also don't concede an inch on this. Life begins at conception, and don't concede an inch on life belonging to God. But it brings me to one final thing that I do want to say, and it is refuse to dehumanize the opponents. That, for instance, the temptation is to think of the good guys and the bad guys here. And remember, those who hold pro-choice views are also made in the image of God.
That's right.
They are fellow image bearers, and we need to refuse to dehumanize them. The message of life is not just for those in the womb. It's for those opposed to life in the womb. And therefore, in our prayers and in our ministry, we need to be reminded in Ephesians chapter 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood. Treat this as a spiritual battle that we bring toward with God in prayer. We also come alongside churches and support their message on life. Come alongside ministries like AFR. Come alongside local crisis pregnancy centers like Parkgate, like the mobile pregnancy center you have in the Mississippi Delta, and support it financially, prayerfully, volunteer-wise, and to be involved for the sake and the cause of life.
And it's so good to know, too, that, like, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
And as much as it may appear that the other side is winning, they're defeated. They're
Absolute.
Already defeated, and we're wise to move forward with that understanding and that perspective as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege we as the church have of being able to proclaim your truth so that people can know your heart, know your will, and know that every life is precious. Help us to boldly proclaim the fact that abortion is never the will of God, that the taking of an innocent life is clearly against your word and your clear counsel in your word in which you told us you shall not murder. Help us as the church to, in love, preach the truth boldly and in grace. And help us to love people where they are. Help us to know, Lord, that many a person who are on the wrong side ended up getting saved and coming over on the right side once they came to really grasp and understand the truth. Help us to be about the work of sharing the gospel and making disciples, knowing that that brings the answer to this and all other issues as well. We thank you for this opportunity and praise you for it. Stir us more and more to be the faithful church you want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that eternally important decision and step in your life, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me in order to commit your heart and life to Jesus Christ and receive eternal life? Would you pray with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some discipleship material and information that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. Again, that email is joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Pastor Matt, thanks so much for being with us. And share with our listeners one more time, if they want to come visit First Baptist or get in touch with you, tell them how they can do that.
Yes, thank you. FBCTupelo.org, FBCTupelo.org. And again, Sunday services, 8:30 and 11 o'clock on the corner of Jefferson and Church in downtown Tupelo. And of course, you can reach out to the church offices to reach out to me personally. And God bless you, and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Matt. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.